Triple M Footy lives on Listener. Thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present.
Unbelievable!
MG's Rugby League Rundown.
And like Jeremy Marshall King after a Ben Hunt kick, I have risen, MG. I am back. I was off last week. I was floored by a Falcon, but I have returned, and it is a pleasure to be back, sir. How are you?
Yeah, good to see you back, mate. You've missed out. We missed out on a really good week of revision last week. Ooh. Round one was a fantastic week, even though it went for 5 months. But I suppose week two is what we're going to be talking about this week, and week three, because there's never a dull moment when you're speaking about the NRL, is there?
No, it's exciting. Well, quickly, before we move on to the stories of the week, there is a lot to get into issue-wise. Let's look back on round two, as it were. Any points that jumped out to you from what was a really exciting round of footy?
Look, I think the local derby between the Panthers and the Eels lived up to the hype. I think Eels are always that side of late, the trouble, the three-time premiership winners, and they look like they're going to do the same thing at Bluebet Stadium last week, but... Isaac Tago starred for the Panthers after signing an extension on his contract. I think the Raiders looking really good. They're looking tough. When you can drop Hoskins from your 12 or from your 13 and bring back Elliot Whitehead, they've got some depth this year, the Raiders, and looking really good. Storm without, you know, Munster and Nelson getting the job done against the Warriors, and that try from Xavier Coates. It's the best I've seen. I know a lot of commentators have said the same thing, but as far as acrobatics go and as far as aerodynamics go, I don't think I've ever seen a better try than Xavier Coates' try last week against
that,
the Warriors.
Because it would be – we live in a world now where it's a bit like the NBA in America, where a lot of people probably don't watch full games of footy or of basketball as it is, but they all see the highlights and they all know the stories. And a lot of people probably didn't watch – every minute of that Storm Warriors game. But everyone who likes rugby league will have seen that try. And I think there's these are the moments the NRL needs to find a way to capitalise on. They need to find a way to make that moment into a, just blow it up as big as they can. Because I've never seen, the acrobatics of the wingers these days, it's incredible. But I felt like he paused and changed direction mid-air.
Yeah, we've seen Israel Folau do a lot of similar things in the in-goal when he goes above people and gets above them and puts the ball down with about a centimetre to spare. But as far as just something that blows your mind, I suppose it was the fact that it happened in the game when it was kind of to win the game. You know,
yes.
Melbourne Storm had, you know, if that was a try scored in an ordinary game, it would still be a mind-blower.
Yep.
It'll still be probably one of the best we've ever seen, but the fact that it kind of mirrored the scenario that Melbourne had come back from points down to score two tries in the last 3 minutes, and that was the exclamation mark that Xavier Coates put on the whole game, and it was phenomenal. It was just phenomenal. It's one of them things that we just don't see that often, and when we see it, it blows our mind.
So good, so good. Sorry, anything else from round two?
I think Manly and the Roosters are both going to be there come finals footy. I was a little bit disappointed with the Roosters' lack of cohesion and errors in that game against Manly, but quite simply, Manly tackled them out of the game. It takes me straight back to 2011 when they've got the Stewart brothers, obviously with Jamie Lyon and Beaver and Steve Maddie, DCE, Watmau, T-Rex, Desi Hasler coaching. And that's this team at the moment starting to remind me of Manly of 2011 when they were the head honchos and they were the grand final winners that year. And Tommy, the best thing about Manly's win against the Roosters was that Tom Trbojevic wasn't in the top three players on the field. You know, that's why I think this season is different for Manly. I think young Brooks coming over from the Tigers is just...
That's the one.
It just looks like a kid who's just, you know, said that he hasn't been able to play in the playground forever and it's his first time in the playground with an open paddock. And he's going, what? What's going on? So he looks great. I think the other Trbojevic's defense and work rate is fantastic, Ben. And they're looking like a really solid team. Their hooker Croker is the most underrated player in the whole competition. And they've got great finishes. They've still got Jason Saab to come back. So Manly, DCE and Brooks are going to cause some headaches this year. And But the Roosters will still be there.
I love that take about Croker being the most underrated player in the comp at the moment.
He's so good.
That title's up for grabs actually at the moment because obviously for so long it was Dylan Edwards.
Yep.
Will Kennedy probably had a stint where he was completely underrated and uncelebrated. And I think it's probably up for grabs right now. Just quickly, going back to your Luke Brooks thing, it reminds me, MG, of remember if you ever changed schools? School, when you're a kid, is your whole world. It's your whole world. That's all you know, right? And you think our schoolyard is this big. Our school playground equipment is only this. This is all you can have at a school. And then you change schools. And suddenly you landed at a school that had two ovals or that had an extra slippery dip and you blew your mind and words couldn't express how happy you were and you go home and you lose your shit to your mum and dad. It's two ovals here. Luke Brooks, if he was still living at home, would be going home to his mum and dad going, oh, there's three Trebojeviches. There's three of them. And they haven't given me a barbecue.
And they're all great blokes. They're all good blokes. There's no backstabbing. It's good.
And there's these things called beaches. There's these things called beaches. And there's not two sets of boards that I have to worry about.
It's amazing.
Anyway, shout out Luke Brooks. Hey, quickly, the other thing I want to get back to. You made a point about the Battle of the West, Parramatta, Penrith. Yep. It was a bruising encounter. Unless the Roosters and the Rabbits trot out some sort of Golden Point thriller monster spectacle this weekend, you rubber stamp Penrith Parramatta as the greatest current day rivalry in the game.
It's hard to go past it in the current crop of games that we see. It's fast becoming it because, as we spoke about at the start of this podcast, that Parramatta seem to have had the wood on Penrith over the last few seasons. In comp games and finals, some finals footy, but obviously Penrith. Their stats speak for themselves, but yeah, look, it's just one of them games. You know, we've got a lot of Parramatta fans in Penrith. Penrith grew up with Parramatta as their big brother. You know, I remember my dad was an avid Parramatta fan in 81, 82, 83. Remember that team and can remember the back line. And it used to be one of the call signs at our school. It goes from Sterling to Kenny to Cronin to Zip Zip Man, who gives it out to Growth. And it's just the star started back line. And I think these current Panthers don't realise that they're in rare air because they are going to be emulated for a long, long time to come from this new crop of kids coming through who remembers them winning three comps in a row, like it's I did exciting. With Parramatta back in the early 80s. So
it's exciting Parramatta, when you talk about it like that, isn't it?
Oh. Yeah, well, that's for Parramatta to come back and try and take some of that territory off them, they've got to keep doing what they did the other night. Look, we spoke about Parra pre-season. I think they're one or two players outside of that group short to put a dent in this season. I always like to see a changeover of talent when you're looking at premiership favourites. Even though Penrith have lost players, not from their own doing because of the salary cap that they've got to adhere to, I would have liked to have seen Parramatta bring in maybe another forward just with a, like they did Hopgood last year. I think Hopgood added so much to them. Maybe a front rower could have added so much to Junior Paulo and Campbell Gillard's game because at the moment, let's be frank, they've got no one pushing them to excellence. Mm. You know, Junior Paulo and Campbell Gillard know that they're the front rowers. Each week they're going to be picked.
Yeah.
When you've got pressure coming from within, like Penrith have for so long, you rise to the occasion. But yeah, you're right. I think if nothing happens on Friday night, which I think will between South Sydney and the Roosters. If you ask me right now, in the competition right now, I can't put Penrith and Parramatta ahead of the Roosters and South Sydney. I think they are the closest in geography. They take each other's juniors. There's a long history of players taking each player. So I think they at the moment hold the mantle for the best local derby. But Parramatta and Penrith are closing in really quickly.
I tell you what, for mine, they will have to put on one hell of a performance in round three because I just it's appointment viewing for mine, Parramatta v Penrith. It's appointment viewing.
Yeah, all right. I'm with you.
Let's get stuck into the issues. We're going to have a look at round three a bit later on, but let's get stuck into the issues today. Before we talk about Souths more broadly, because there's lots to pick out with South Sydney with what's going on, can I introduce a segment to MG's Rugby League Rundown with your approval?
Of course.
It's called Let's Put a Bow on It. And it's when, by the time we sit down, there's been an issue that's done 1,000 laps of the course, And we just need to put a bow on it and move on.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
It was a Spencer Lenu last week.
We would have put a bow in that.
Myself and Anthony Maroon did.
We said to ourselves, we're not going to talk about it. It's been done to death.
There you go.
And I think we're very similar with the Latrell issue as well.
So Latrell Mitchell swearing, let's just put a bow on it and say that, first of all, I think South's just buy him a word of the day calendar. Just help him expand that vocabulary so next time he doesn't need to draw on the swears.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just all just move on. There's no, now we're seeing emails from the NRL coming to Triple M about the way we're meant to be conducting ourselves. Souths are complaining. I've heard rumours that Nine's complaining. Let's just move on.
Yep.
Let's just move on from this issue, right? Okay. There's no, the kids weren't in cars at 10 past 10. Latrell shouldn't have sworn. We all agree. Wasn't a great moment. Let's just move on.
The irony of it all, just to put a bow on it, is that kids in cars, at that time of night. But the fact that we were filming it and it went viral is why Channel 9 have complained to the NRL saying, "Come on, man,
we've got cameras out there.
We didn't get the clicks you guys got."
Yeah, Dobbo does the best work.
It's nothing personal to any of the networks. We're all trying to make this game better, and then there's no way on God's earth that Triple M should be blamed for what Latrell Mitchell said. Latrell knows what he was doing. Latrell, I've been in situations where I've sworn in an interview straight away when I've done it on air when I've been dumped. Straight away you realise you've done the wrong thing. But when you say it four or five times, you're trying to make a statement. And it was a big finger, that's a big up yours to the establishment.
Yep.
I hope that this meeting that Abdo has with Latrell is a prosperous one and we get on with life. Because this Friday night, as you say, is a massive encounter between South Sydney and the Roosters.
The bow has been put on the issue. Let's move on. Staying with South, though, MG.
Yes.
Lachlan Ilias, the head to roll for their 0-2 start to the season.
Yeah, I found this puzzling. I must confess, I did. We're two games into a season, and you can think about the off-season that South Sydney would have had. They would have trained most, or without knowing, they would have trained most of their off-season with Ilias at number 7. Cody Walker number 6 and young Hawkins and Whiten changing probably, 6s and 7 mixing around. But most of their attack would come from Ilias. Now that that's gone after two weeks, it's kind of like you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater and all of a sudden there's pressure on South Sydney, but I don't think there should be. I think it's more internal problem they're putting on themselves. Externally, I think both games they've competed. They're both their games, they haven't really given up the... against the Broncos last week, they were in it. The first game over in Vegas, they were in it against Manly. So they haven't been crap. They've been willing. And we all know that they're down in troops. Campbell Graham, and you throw Campbell Graham and Jack White into that back line, all of a sudden it's one of the best back lines in the competition. Their forward pack holds their own. Jai Arrow got injured in the first game, done his rotator cuff. I mean, they've been hit with the injury stick pretty badly. So the panic's coming from not from outside, but from within. And that makes everyone else panic because they're saying, we're saying to ourselves, what's Demetrio seeing that we're not seeing? We're seeing a guy at number 7 who's a young kid who's having a go. Is the kid coming in, this young Hawkins, going to be better? Is he that much better than Ilias? Or is it the simple fact of making a statement? Then we go back 6 months and we saw the Sam Burgess saga play out and Sam wasn't happy about how some players were treated compared to others. Then we've heard and watched... Josh Mansour on the Buy Round podcast.
Yep.
These things aren't coincidences. These things are something that is brewing because of the fact that the South Sydney Rabbitohs are bringing it upon themselves. It's not the external pressure that's bringing it upon themselves. It's South Sydney whose machinations that they're producing are making everything else, making the rugby league world go, what the hell? Whiten haven't played a game yet. Whiten hasn't played with Ilias yet. Like, give him a chance. Give Ilias a chance to throw a ball to Jack White into a hole. Give Ilias a chance to defend next to Jack White. Like all these scenarios that we're not going to see this weekend because of a bit of panic, I think. That's from the outside looking in. And I think that Demetrio, I said tongue-in-cheek on the breakfast show through the week, if they get beat by the Roosters, he's the first coach that could be sacked. If they get thumped by the Roosters, he won't be sacked, but his odds will shorten massively to be the first coach on the cutting block. So the pressure that he's put upon himself, Liam, and who knows, he might coach better that way, but now the pressure is is most definitely on him this Friday night, because anything but a win against the Roosters, and hammer on the Rabbitohs, unfortunately.
Well, he got an extension late last year, yep, till the end of 2026. So theoretically, they believe he is the man for the future. But I love your take about this is all pressure that they're piling on themselves, and
yeah,
and you wonder whether to untie that bow just ever so slightly, the reaction of Souths around this Latrell thing is another is further evidence of seemingly just a club that's so resolute and has been through so much, and you just question whether the foundations are a little bit shaky at the moment, and what does Blake Solly as the CEO and Jason Demetro as the coach, and you know, Cam Murray as the captain of this club. I mean, Cam Murray's playing his 150th game, yep, in this game.
That's exactly what we should be talking about. And yet, look at this, Blake Solly and Demetro, I'm pretty sure they're on the same page. And you can't really bring Blake Solly into this equation, because I don't think he has much to do with the actual coaching of the rugby league team. He's part of the committee and part of the overseeing that gets Jack White into the club. Well, we're going to see Jack White play this Friday night for the first time in a South Sydney jersey, and I think that's a jubilant time for the Red and Greens, because it's a massive moment for them. And so potentially the 1-2 hit of him and Latrell could be anything. Yeah. Could be anything for the South Sydney team. I mean, especially if they're operating on either side of the field. Imagine in a perfect world, if you had one on one centre, one at the other centre, and you've got someone, you know, a Johnson at fullback just for a game, and just seeing what happens. They're going to be a better team because Jack Whiten's there, and that's a good thing about – I'm not so sure they're a better team without – Ilias, but time will tell.
The excitement part as a footy fan as well is knowing the closeness between White and Mitchell, and yes, getting them to see.
Yeah, so Cody's been down the first two games. He hasn't been his Cliffy Lyon self. He hasn't been his conniving, his probing. He hasn't been that little gangster who gets in there and just tries to strip and steal anything he can on a footy field.
Cody's typically a guy that sort of plays his way into fitness too. He never comes out, you know, shredded and ripped, ready to go, full match fitness round one. He sort of plays his way in, and then we get to a point where around Origin he's tearing things apart, and we start saying, why isn't he being picked for State of Origin? So
yeah, good call.
So you're not rolling out the Bunnies? You're not flaking on them just yet?
No. I want to see Jack White in the red and green for a couple of weeks. I think he'll bring untold enthusiasm to the team. He'll bring a big body. Campbell Graham's sternum is a worry, because that's another big body that they're missing. As I said, put them two in the back line and you've got a team that can play top four footy. But without them, they look pretty shaky.
All right, Bunnies fans, you can take a breather. We're going to leave you alone for a sec. Jackson Hastings.
Wow.
Now, for those not aware, Jackson Hastings, the Knights halfback, has been dropped for this weekend's game at home against the Storm. When he was told he was dropped, he was given the option to go and train with the New South Wales Cup side. And he said, stuff that, I'm going home.
Yes. Not the
Where do you want to reaction, start here, MG?
Not the
Where
reaction.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start with Jackson Hastings' reaction. Because while disappointed, we're only in round two. And when Cogger signed from Penrith after winning a competition, you kind of know as a half, Gamble or Hastings both knew that, you know what, this guy's going to be breathing down our neck. We need a really good start. And they should have spoke to each other about that. We need to get in each other's back pocket and say, he's part of our team, but let's not let him in. Let's keep him out. That means we're winning games. Obviously, that hasn't happened. They're 0-2. So someone's head at the roll. You've got a grand final winning playmaker in your team, and you've got him on the bench playing hooker. So it was obvious that he was going to come on for one of the two. The fact that it's been Jackson Hastings, did I see it coming? Probably not, because I think that Jackson Hastings hasn't been playing that badly. I thought that his energy levels have been high. He's always a competitor. Tyson Gamble, maybe. Maybe I might have saw Cogger playing seven and Hastings at six, but whichever way you look at it, when you're losing games, them two guys, one of you are going, because Cogger's won a comp last season. Cogger come on and helped Cleary win the competition for Penrith by just being his idle self. Yep. He didn't do anything. He didn't overplay his hand. He gave Nathan Cleary full autonomy of the football team. And that was a calming influence on the whole team. Him and Mitch Kenny's last foray into the Broncos defensive line was one of the reasons that Penrith won. So Yeah, Cogger had to be in the top 13 after you lose two games in a row. So whose head had to roll? Well, that's O'Brien. All of a sudden, after signing an extension there, that has basically got himself in a little bit of a froth and bubble as well, because both times they should have won them, the opening games of the season, they were in both games up to their eyeballs, and then they kind of just look like they're unfit. And that's not a really good thing to be two rounds into a competition. So,
and I guess fundamentally for the Knights, it all comes down to their fullback. O'Brien, these decisions are about, hey, how do we get Kalen the ball? How do we get Kalen involved in our attack? And yeah, you probably could have looked on par who's been better. Hastings has been probably a bit better than Gamble through the first two rounds.
Yep.
But Adam sat there and gone, yep, Tyson hasn't been as good as Jackson. But with Jack coming in and keeping Tyson next to him, it allows us to set up Kalen better. And and that's fundamentally, you know, what it boils down to. Now, reading into it a little bit, Jackson Hastings was given the option to train with the New South Wales Cup side. It wasn't.
Why would he have been given an option? This is what I'm worried about. Why would you say to your player, do you want to train with New South Wales Cup? If I'm Adam O'Brien, I said, mate, unfortunately, you're not in the first grade this week. Give us a good performance in the New South Wales Cup and you could be back next week. But now he's put himself 4 weeks behind the eight ball. Now if that's my player who's gone, I've given him an opportunity, has been a team clubman, he's shown me the opposite of that. By not wanting to go back.
At time of recording, they're training again today. He may have turned up. Yeah. I fully expect that he probably has turned up.
I think he would have. But every player goes through it. I went through it. Every single player who's played the game, except for the dazzling few, have had to hear that coach say, we have had to let you go this week. You're going back to the reserve grade. And it's either through form or injury or suspension that you've got to fight your way back through the range.
Who dropped
but
you?
It happens.
Who dropped you? Who'd you get that talking to from?
It happened to me when I was injured. I had pneumonia, so I had to come back through through reserve grade in 87, only after, in my second season. I luckily never had that
moment of being dropped from the first grade when you were fit.
No.
But you've seen teammates do it over the years?
Seen everyone. Like, I've seen it, you know. I've never seen a player say, I'm not going back to reserve grade to train. I've never seen it. I've never seen someone say, like a Tim Sheens or a Ron Willey or a Phil Gould or a Roy Simmons or a Peter Mulholland or a Bob Fulton or a who else to coach me through the I've had some
Alan
amazing
Jones.
Coaches. Alan Jones. I've had some amazing coaches. And every time they've had to pull the pin on a player to go back, of course you're filthy and you spit the dummy, but you don't let the other teammates see that.
Well, so today, when he turns up, and I fully expect Jackson Hastings to have turned up to training today. I don't think this will be blown out into anything bigger, but who goes up to him? Does Kalen go up to him?
I think he goes up to the club captain and apologises. And I think he goes up to the coach and apologises. He said, and this is all kind of, hypothesizing.
Well, it's hypothetical, of course it is. We don't know what's going on.
But the story would be you go straight to the coach and you'd ring it. You would have read the coach when you got home that night and said, mate, I'm sorry. I was just disappointed. I didn't think I'd be the one. And I shouldn't have reacted the way I did. But I'm busting my ass for New South Wales Cup this week, and I can guarantee you that in the next two or three weeks, I'll be back in that number seven jersey. That's what you want to hear from a bloke who's been cut.
I like that. All right. He's hoping that's what we get out of Jackson Hastings for the Knights. We're gonna get to round three very, very shortly. One more issue or a couple more quick things, MG. Firstly, Dave Riccio, as part of Triple M's NRL coverage, reporting that Madge,
yes,
putting in phone calls to prospective Blues and a young man who for a long, long time has been in the sights of Brad Fittler while he was coaching. The expectations have been huge. Unfortunately, he's been playing for a club that's just been living in the gutter of turmoil for most of this kid's career. Zach Lomax appears as a potential Blues wing bolter.
Yeah, I'm going to put my hand right up here. When I saw that Zach Lomax was on the wing for the Dragons, I thought, come on, man. You know, you can't be doing that. If he's not in the top three or four players in your team, well, I'll give it away. And he's got to get the ball as many times as possible. Guess what? He's doing that on the wing.
Mm-hmm.
He's leading. He's leading the hit-ups. He's leading the meters. I think it's been a breath of fresh air, because the biggest kind of negativity I could throw his way as a centre was he overthought things. He always had three or four things going through his mind when he got the ball from the 5-8 or second row, and that was either like, will I put a grubber through here? Will I dummy it? Will I chip it? Will I kick it? Will I pass it? Now he gets the ball and runs hard and straight and makes 130, 40 metres a game after having 20 runs. He's taking bombs. He's scoring tries. He's kicking goals. Until Dave Riccio said it, I didn't think about him as a winger. But then Dave Riccio says, since 2021, New South Wales have only used three wingers. And that's Brian To'o, the Fox, and Tupu. So, you know what? Bring it on. If he can keep up his form, I think it's a fantastic thing. I think he's a big-bodied, hard-running, you know, guy who's desperate. I think he can live with the fact now that his days in centre are over. I think if anything now, he's either going to be a fullback or winger. But on the wing, I think he's kind of got a breath of fresh air. I'm enjoying watching him play, to be honest.
Shane Flanagan, do you know MG? Zach Lomax and the way he's playing on the wing, 24 years of age. You know who was one of the wingers when the Sharks won the comp in 2016? Valentine Holmes.
Val Holmes, wow.
There's a bit of that about the way Zach's playing his footy. And you look at what Val is, and it's that funny thing where it's like there's almost a bit of license. Remember when Freddie had all those fullbacks in his team? He basically gave Tommy Turbo the license to go find the footy.
Yep.
It sort of seems like Shane's given that to Zach a bit. Mm. It's like, mate, yeah, you're a wing. You play on the wing when we need the system set. You're a wingman. You're playing on the wing, but
the first game, he looked like he was the Messiah by doing it. But then they get beat by 38-0 from the Dolphins, and kind of you're going back to the drawing board. So again, they're starting from scratch again.
They take on the Cows this weekend at home,
The Cows are showing that they're the real deal this year, even though it was a kind of a pulsating win against the Knights. But yeah, look, it's a season that I can't wait to get involved with. It's round three up already, and it seems like the competition has been going for a lot longer because of everything that's happened. We've had Vegas, we've had this, we've had the drama after Vegas, we've had round one, which was extended. The other six games were played a week later. Then we've had round two and the drama after that. Well, what will round three bring to us? That's the question I want to know.
You know what? We can guarantee it's going to bring West Tigers outside noise stories. I don't even want to talk about this. I honestly don't think the West Tigers justify a conversation on MG's Rugby League Rundown this week. Just let's leave it.
There's nothing to see here. Walk away.
Let's get stuck into round three. This is what we're here for. It feels like it's round 17. It's round three. Thursday night, Panthers, Bronx. It's the grand final replay, except these two teams are sitting in 10th and 9th as opposed to 1 and 2 like they were last year. It's at home, Bluebet Stadium. No Adam Reynolds. That's the definitive factor here. Jock Madden will be in the 7 for the Broncos instead of Reno. And James Fisher-Harris out for the Penny Panthers.
Yeah, and just before we come on for the podcast, I heard maybe that Payne Haas has been ruled out as well. Maybe Tony can give us some, while we're on the show today, can give us an update on that. But I think Payne Haas, which would make it almost impossible for the Broncos to win, you'd think. At Bluebet Stadium on a Thursday.
You're
night.
Right, MG. Just doing a quick bit of Googling as we chat. Payne Haas has been ruled out with a knee injury. So
yeah, that's a massive
no
blow
pain
for them. No pain and no gain for the Broncos.
Just can't seem getting it done.
That's Reynolds. They're two best players, you know, in my. They're two most influential players.
Yeah.
Payne Haas, as far as the go forward, and then the halfback for getting the most out of that go forward in the game is Adam Reynolds. So it'd be something very left of centre for the Broncos to topple the Panthers. It's only round three, but these two teams will see each other at the end of the year, but Panthers for mine.
So I would assume there, and doing this on the fly, that we're going to get to see young Xavier Willison, this 2-metre behemoth, come into the side for the Bronx, which is which is exciting stuff. Marty's on the bench. Marty Tupper, who's already on the bench. So maybe he moves into that starting side and Xavier comes on the bench. So
yeah, great. Awesome.
Exciting talent. They've got a lot of hype about this kid. So there is silver lining to the absence of pain. Warriors at home to the Raiders. The Raiders
Yep.
The Milk Monsters, Ricky yes. and the boys, with absolutely nobody in their side. No high-profile name. Jack White said, ta-da, I'm leaving you with no stars, and here they are sitting atop the ladder.
I've got to say that the most impressive team after two rounds are the Raiders. They've done the job over against they've done the first one up at Newcastle and then at home last week against the Tigers. But it's the way in which they're doing it. And, look, I think one of their stars has been Zach Hosking, who obviously came from Penrith and late notice, and Penrith didn't want to let him go, and that was a big loss for Penrith because he was coming into his own, Zach Hosking's. And the fact that he's been dropped this weekend for the captain, Elliot Whitehead, tells you about their depth. The Warriors, but over there, they'll be smarting. They're sitting in zero from two. One of them games was one of them games where they think they would have won against the Storm. It was obviously that try for Xavier right in the bell. The other one was the first round when they got beat as well. So I think that we need to see something out of the Warriors. They need to make a statement. It's going to be a hard team to make a statement against, but I think they can. I think over there, it's definitely on their side. It's always greasy. It's always saying that Raiders probably look forward to them kind of conditions, but I just think on a Friday night at 8 p.m., I think the Raiders are going to be up against it, and I think the Warriors might get them.
All right, and then we get into the Book of Feuds, the battle. Roosters, Souths, 7 o'clock, Allianz Stadium. No Luke Keary. Sandon Smith's going to partner Sammy Walker in the halves, and obviously we mentioned Lachlan Ilias being dropped for Dean Hawkins. Roosters, some good news for them, obviously, is that Angus Crichton returns to the side, Connor Watson back in as well. That they add a bit of punch off the bench, both those lads, and obviously Jack Whiten's the other big one for South coming in for his first appearance.
Yeah, massive game, Liam. Massive game. Game of the round by a mile. I think that this game is set. All the drama that's happened through the week with Luttrell, all eyes will be on him. The return of him and Joey Manu up against each other. We know that how far they go back. Quite simply, Luttrell needs a man of the match performance for South Sydney to win. If Luttrell gets man of the match, South will win. But on the other hand, I think the Roosters would have been a little bit disappointed with how they kind of conceded against Manly last weekend at Four Pines. They were in that game up to their eyeballs, but then there's some elementary handling errors saw that Manly run away with the game. So I'm going to say I think the Roosters might bounce back and get the victory here.
Okay. Just quick.
South could be 0-3.
And I've put my hand up over the years with UMG about I'm a newcomer to the world of rugby league. I grew up in Adelaide, up the Rams. But I've learned about this game particularly from you. I've learned so much from you about this game of rugby league. I'm not one of these diehards that's aware of every single piece of the game.
No.
I had no idea Michael Jennings was still playing rugby league.
You know what?
He's 35. I looked down and saw him on the reserve. I thought, is he still going? He's on 298 career appearances.
2 weeks ago, Ramblay played against him. Penrith played against Roosters reserve grade 2 weeks ago, and they had Hargraves and Napa and Butcher and Crichton and Connor Watson and Michael Jennings in the centres. And Jenko, don't forget, Jenko was out for 4 years with a.
Yes.
With the positive test.
That's right.
So he's a young 35.
How many years did he miss?
Four.
Four same years.
Same as Bronson Sherry.
When you look at that, he missed 4 years of rugby league. He's got 298 appearances. He currently sits equal 12th on the all-time try scorers list.
Wow.
He's only got himself to blame. If you give him back those 4 years, let's say conservatively, he scores 10 tries a year, conservatively, because he's that quality a finisher.
Yep.
He's second all time. He's sitting only, he's past Billy Slater.
We forget how good he was in his day. We forget that every time he touched the ball, the crowd would stand up, and obviously had a bit of drama of late, but it was good to see him back on the footy field. He's paid for his crimes, and if you can atone, well, you're always welcome back.
Sorry, that was a slight distraction. It really did blow my mind. And because his profile picture's got the big grey beard too. He's a real throwback.
It is.
Righto, Saturday afternoon, Belmore, home of the Dogs, and they host a Titans side that is really hoping that this can kind of be the start of their season. They were woeful round one against the Dragons. Still no Jaden Campbell, though. That's the big out. They're still rolling
with
Kinney at fullback.
What's the latest with him?
With Jaden Campbell?
Yeah.
I haven't seen him around the beaches. Haven't bumped into him of late.
You haven't one of the run trails. You haven't seen him up the front or something. Just saying,
he's not out. He's not out trotting the trails as yet.
Okay, well, so look, the Dogs obviously are 0-2. There's a lot of conjecture about who should be fullback, who should be 5-8, who should be centres. Well, we can all have our say on that, but ultimately it's up to the players what they want to do. If you want to play wherever you want to play in that back line or the forward pack, you've got to show it against the Titans. This is a game they should win. This is a game they really should win at home at Belmore Sports Ground. I'll be there on Saturday watching the pre-game. My young bloke will play against the Doggies, so I want to see a big crowd turn out for this game for the Doggies fans. The Kieran Foran Cup or the Max King Cup? What is it?
Jeez. I can't think Kieran Foran gets it.
Yeah, I really can't see the Doggies losing. I really can't.
Really?
I think at the moment, the Titans, I don't know. Obviously, they had the bye last week, so they're on two points. But that first round, man, that was alarming to see. When Des Haslett had him for the whole offseason, and he still doesn't seem to have his thumbprint over them yet. That's a worry. So
it looked like they needed to empty a big can of WD-40 over that entire side because there was no flow. There was nothing was working.
No.
Nothing was working.
So Bulldogs for mine.
All right. Saturday afternoon, we mentioned Zach Lomax, the bolter for the Blues, has received the phone call from Madge McGuire during the week. You'd want to see him cross the stripe and be impressive this week when the Dragons host the Cows. No Frankie Molo or Jacob Little for the Dragons, and Helam Lukey goes out for the Cowboys as well.
Yeah, look, young Jesse Marski, number 9, he's been a fantastic young bloke. Him, his twin brother from the Roosters lower grades in North Sydney, he goes to number 9. And as you mentioned about Lomax, well, there's a couple of other players in the same boat whose Blues jerseys, we want to watch the coach watching them. Jack Bird is one of them. Young Drinkwater, who's in extended squad last season. You've got, you know, obviously the forward pack is pretty well Queenslander, but Jordan McLean got mentioned last year in the front row. So is his time done? Who knows? But, yeah, look, it's a game that you think could go either way because of the fact that it's away from North Queensland. But I lean towards the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys will have too much pace for them out wide.
It's good to see a couple of Wiley. It's sort of like with Ben Hunt there pulling the strings for the Dragons and then Chad Townsend and Tommy Did. And it's going to come down to those wise heads in the halves, you'd think. Yep. Saturday evening, West Tigers, Leichhardt Oval here. So what's the forecast like for this weekend?
A bit of rain, I think. Bit of rain around.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll still be sold out. It'll still be packed.
Oh, as it should be. West Tigers at home taking on the Cronulla Sharks. You were such a fan of this young fullback Bullitt last year.
Yes.
For the West Tigers. Obviously, Luke Brooks not being there is the big change. And it's sort of an unlikely halves pairing with Galvin and Caesar coming up against a bloke in Nico Hines who you just get the sense he's coming back to that kind of 2022 form where he was really pulling the strings confidently throughout the game.
Saw an alarming thing last week happened against the Tigers when Canberra scored a try off a set play off a tap 30 metres out down the blind side. That's not what you want to see if you're Benji Marshall. And I think they'll be a lot better for the run, but I still think on paper the Sharkies win this game.
Yeah, when you look at that forward pack, Toby Rudolph, Blake Braley, Kafusi, Williams, Wilton, McInnes, there's a real stiffness to it.
You've got the bench, Finucane, Royce Hunt, Billy Burns, and big Thomas Hazleton. Massive bench.
I know South Roosters is your pick of the game, of the weekend, but geez, Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock at Combank Stadium, Eels, Manly. Manly, one of the picks of the teams so far in the season, in this short season that we have had. But you declared it when this, I remember we were doing the radio show, MG, when Combank Stadium was built, and you said Manly are instantly a one try, Parramatta are a 6-point better side.
8 points.
8 points you gave them. 8 points better side when they play at home and they are at home.
Yeah, and I think they will be in this game as well. I think the Eels will win by 8 points because it's a... What I saw against Penrith was enough to make me think that this team in front of us, almost, I think it mightn't be sold out at the moment, but it's getting close to sold out. I think they're going to enjoy this rugby league team this season. I think this is the second game in the round. Obviously, Roosters and Rabbitohs, Broncos and Panthers is up there. All the players weren't out injured. But Eels and Seagulls is the game that you've got to tune into on Sunday. It's going to be a cracker, and I think the Eels will get them.
All right, and then the final game of the round, which we've spoken about a little bit already with the axing of Jackson Hastings, the Knights hosting the Melbourne Storm, who, the Melbourne Storm, you just get a feeling they're putting together another one of these seasons where it'll come to the after the origin and we'll go, the Melbourne Storm are second again, and we haven't spoken about them all year.
Well, if it's going to happen, Liam, it's going to happen this week because both their halves are out, Munster and Hughes, as well as their front
Christian
rower.
Christian Welsh.
Christian Welsh is out, and Nelson isn't anywhere near the team as well. So they're playing a team in Newcastle on Sunday at 6 p.m. who have spawned, who are filthy on the world. They want revenge. And unfortunately for Melbourne, they've got to travel all the way up to Newcastle to try and stop that revenge happening. I don't think it will. I think the Knights will get them this. I think this is the best time for the Knights to beat the Storm with all the players out. I think if you look at their halves, their inexperience in Pezzett and Wishart up against the other Cogger and co. But Ponga to star in this game, I think Ponga will be a man of the match. And I think the Knights might get them by about two or three tries, maybe 14 points.
I like it. There it is. MG's tips for round 3 of the NRL season. Feels like it's been going for a lifetime, but we are enjoying it nevertheless. MG, we'll be back next week. Here's hoping that the bow we put on the Latrell situation stays tied over the weekend. But rest assured, there'll be something else to talk about, no doubt.
Enjoy your footy.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.